Open our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, and our hearts that we may love. Amen. Let's start with some joy. Short of packing you all up and taking you to the Adirondack Mountains, words will have to do. This summer, a baby loon was born. Loons are distinctive aquatic birds that dive deeply. Most alluring are the evocative voices, sounds that you will never forget. Oh, here, have a listen. We knew the baby loon had been born that night. Over our 22 summers there, nothing like this had ever happened. But we knew the night the baby was born. The joyful tremolos of the parents were contagious, and they still bring us joy. Oh, I wish you could have been there. The wilderness reminds us powerfully of the promise that all can get along. Tree branches dramatically wrap around each other to get to the sun. Some trees grow on rocks. Oh, and sure, yeah, the hummingbirds, yeah, they do dodge, but they all get their food. The frogs exist with the juicy worms in the mud. It's a fabulous menagerie when you can get over yourself and simply take the time to take it all in. Now, I know somewhere inside of us, each one of us has our own Adirondack joy. So please savor it, hold on to it. We were introduced to the Adirondacks by my mentor, Barney Farnham, the longtime rector of Memorial Church in Baltimore. Memorial is a plain parish compared to Grace. It's in a privileged enclave surrounded by poverty. The doors were open all day, and yes, much was stolen. Barney would joke, "When I get to heaven, I'll see a chapel made from all the items stolen from Memorial." Well, I guess he's looking at that chapel now. We would go on retreat every year to the Western Priory in Vermont, a quiet place on the top of a mountain. One day we were walking and he said, "I wrote each of my children," they are now all adults, "a letter about life." Well, countless thoughts raced through my head about what I might say, and I dared to ask, "What did you say?" He said, "I told them to always follow Christ." I told them to always follow Christ. Well, there's today's gospel in a nutshell. Always follow Christ. Oh, but a very raw gospel it is. Jesus was in Jerusalem. His grand entrance with the palms had happened. He'd been hanging around the magnificently adorned temple, teaching and ranting and talking about what was going to happen. Many of us associate talk of the end time with Advent and the second coming of Christ. But that is not the case with this gospel. Jesus speaks of the destruction of the temple as a catastrophe that does in fact happen in the lifetime of many who are listening. Jesus' prediction would have been made around the year 30. The Romans savagely destroyed the temple in the year 70, killing and scattering many. Luke's gospel was written in the last third of the first century. So the destruction of the temple probably had as tremendous an impact back then from generation to generation as World War II or 9/11 have for us. Traumatic events that influence lives forever and ever. It was a divided, anxious time, full of hurtful words and a collective unwillingness to listen. A time of disquiet, most likely characterized by helplessness, confusion, and anxiety. And in the midst of this, always follow Christ? Really? You might say. Is it really possible to have such deep faith? But what if, you may be wondering, or how about this and that? No, Jesus says, times may get rough, but I will see you through to eternal life. Grace is blessed to be a congregation of many generations. Now, bear with me here, because once upon a time, before devices, many here may recall when there were papers called maps. A map could show you in some detail how to go a long way. Now, I can't figure out how to get this expanded detail on the phone, on the screen of my cell phone. But we in the Episcopal Church can provide you with a map as to how to tangibly follow Christ. We take heart from our Anglican Episcopal heritage by espousing a way called the Via Media, or the Middle Way. The concept of Via Media emerged from Aristotle and was Anglicanized by Richard Hooker. And this is an important point. The middle way does not mean compromising or being wishy-washy. For example, Aristotle explains courage as the via media, the middle way between foolhardiness and cowardness. Foolhardiness, courage, the via media, cowardness. Pursuing the middle way takes us to what I call in contemporary society to a drone's view. In taking such a view, we rise above our egos. We make a real effort to understand the big picture, to listen for the emotions behind the words. Am I hearing fear, timidity, anxiety, laziness? We listen for the emotions, always following Christ by seeking a higher value than what reality might show. A drone's view is a hopeful view. A drone's view is not a stubborn view, it is flexible. And that is all fine, because we know that Christ will indeed have the last word. Now, pursuing the via media, the middle way, is intentional work. Reconciliation, or a better way, believe me, we all know, they are not solutions that fall easily into our lap. And seeking the divine, the way of Christ in situations, involves our trying genuinely to identify with another person's humanity. It calls forth our humility and our very best natures. Remember the violence and the tragedy in Dayton a few months ago? Dayton is located in the Diocese of Southern Ohio. And the erudite bishop of this diocese, the Right Reverend Thomas Bridenthal, spoke powerfully for the church in sharing a letter to his congregation about our humanity. He wrote, "We are in a highly charged time in which our first obligation as followers of Christ is to maintain community across division. Many of the congregations in Southern Ohio are a hard-won weekly gathering of people who disagree deeply on political issues. This is a special spiritual achievement which should not be undervalued. We stick together because we have all known forgiveness and grace in Jesus." We don't often talk about that, but this is the glue that holds us together. Forgiveness and grace is what we have in common. It is where our unity is rooted. And when we go there, we often find a way to reframe our differences and find a better way to move forward. The via media professed by Bishop Bridenthal, I propose, is maintaining community among division. A community bolstered by Christ's promise in today's gospel that he, Jesus, will give you the words and the wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. I asked you to savor the joy because I sense that collectively we are all being dragged down by confusing events at our time. And let's face it, many are faithful to even talk. And you know, I suppose if we wanted to sit around and have a pity party and talk about all that has happened in the world since Jesus died and was risen, yeah, we could readily imagine the world just sinking to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. Now, wouldn't that be some pity party? But here's the thing, and this is really, really important, because through all that has transpired, every nasty bit of it, the message of the gospel still prevails. That is our testimony. We profess a gospel of love, of mercy, of compassion and forgiveness. A gospel of the old being made new. A gospel of undeserved grace. The power of the gospel cannot be silenced. And yes, that is part of our joy. So always follow Christ. Christ first. And then share your own magnificent loon call. Cherish your joy and try not to worry, because Jesus has your back now and forevermore. Amen.